Welcome to GleeCast, the somewhat occasionally weekly home of Glee and casting. Here are your hosts, Emily and Erica.
Well, hi there.
Well, hello. Whoops. Sorry.
What did you do, Erica?
I didn't do it. The kitten almost fell.
Oh, is that what it's going to be? Is everything that goes wrong from now on going to be the kitten did it?
Probably. Needless to say, prior to recording this episode, we were supposed to record 2 hours ago, and I fell asleep because the kitten laid down on me and fell asleep, and I couldn't move, so I fell asleep.
That's cool. We were also supposed to record like hours before that, and I just completely forgot that we were going to record. So we're both irresponsible today.
Yeah, well, we're getting it together eventually.
I mean, you have an excuse, because for you, we could argue that you're just like trying to ride out your 20s on this like reckless note, maybe? Is that it?
I'm 29. I'm being all crazy.
We are now decades apart. Well, we were decades apart, but now the bridge is closing, Erica.
It is. Yes. Very slowly.
How was your birthday?
It was a very good birthday.
You had a nice like birthday week thing going on.
I did. It kind of took the whole week. It wasn't intentional. It's just kind of how it happened.
Mm-hmm.
It worked out pretty well. I got a kitten. I got presents. I got a Thor-themed birthday party. It was pretty great.
Say that 10 times fast. Go.
Thor-themed birthday party, Thor-themed birthday party, Thor-themed birthday party, Thor-themed birthday. I lost count.
Oh, you got up to 4. You were close. You know, it was a valiant effort.
I tried.
Yeah, so I guess the big excitement of the week has been Erica got a kitten.
I did. Her name is Mjolnir.
She's really cute.
She is named after Thor's hammer. And my mother took in her brother, and his name is Thor. And I saw Thor today, actually. He's doing very well.
Oh, good. Good, good.
He's bigger than – he's, like, much longer than she is. It's funny.
I mean, she is – tiny.
Yeah, so we got her on Tuesday. When I took her to the vet on Wednesday, she was 8 ounces. I weighed her yesterday on my little kitchen scale, my food scale, and she was 14 7/8 ounces.
Chubby checker.
Yep, she's getting there. And Thor was, when my mom took Thor to the vet on Saturday, he was 1 pound 4 ounces.
Okay.
So he was... When I first got them, you know, he was more than half her size. But yeah, Mjolnir's good. She's sitting on my back right now.
Nice.
I'm not sure why, but
that's, you know, they like to kind of figure out what things they can stand on, what things they can't.
Yeah.
Nice. And the best thing about her is her head is like already the size of like Mookie's head, but her body is the size of like a thimble. So it's really fun.
You know, it's a little bobblehead. What's so funny is that for a long time, I thought that my mom has 2 cats already. And I thought that my mom's cat, Charlene, was the same size as Joplin. Cause I guess they were both always like, Joplin's a very tiny,
she's very
cat.
Little.
She's very petite. And that's what I would like Mjolnir to be. I'm on hope.
Start binding her feet now.
Yes. But I guess in my head, like I knew Charlene before I knew Joplin. And I guess prior to meeting Joplin, Charlene was the smallest cat that I knew. And I went over there today and I looked at the cat and I was just like, you're huge. Like, where did you come from? She looks gigantic. And I'm sure it's just like association because I'm playing with the
kid. Right now you're playing with a cat that's smaller than both of our hands.
But like, even compared to Joplin though, how much does Joplin weigh?
I think Joplin is maybe, I can't remember if it was, I want to say she's like 6 pounds.
Okay. Yeah. This cat is 11 pounds.
Yeah. No, that's like a medium sized cat.
Yeah, but she just looks so gigantic next to like next to what I've been dealing with and next to what I like know Joplin to be.
Right. Now you have this kind of like sort of like a size, every size. Like Mookie is an extra, extra large.
Yeah.
Joplin is a small. This cat's probably a medium.
Yeah. And Mjolnir's gonna stay a small, right, Mjolnir? Yeah,
you will. I got exciting news when I went shoe shopping this weekend.
Okay, what's your
I'm not a shoe person. I don't really give a shit about shoes. But I went to Famous Footwear Outlet and I was buying shoes. And my I don't know if this is a normal thing. My feet have been shrinking, I think. Or more realistically, I hope, because this freaks me out if they're shrinking. I think shoe companies are just, I mean, their sizes have changed. And I think shoes are running bigger now. So I used to safely call myself a 6.5. And I went shoe shopping this weekend, and every 6.5 was gigantic on me. So I ended up buying size 6. And when I bought my shoes, the cashier said, oh, you know, I don't know if you know this, but you could probably buy girls size 4. I'm like, oh, she's like, yeah, and you know, I mean, sometimes it doesn't make too much of a difference, but sometimes it's cheaper. I was like, oh my God, you're right. I can wear little girl shoes. And that means like I can get better, like funner. They can probably light up and stuff.
You could get some really nice, like Dora the Explorer sneakers.
Yes. Like Toy Story 3 ones. Oh, those are probably boys. Little boys, I guess I'm like, I don't know how little boys' shoes run.
Yeah, I don't know how they run. I know how men's shoes run.
And come to think of it, it'll be a little weird me shopping in the little boys' department. Little girls' department, I can get away with it. But I mean, I guess I could just say it's for my kid as I try on the shoe. It's for my giant kid.
It's for my child, whom I will share the same size foot with.
Yeah, it's just this thing. He just, a lot of people have it. Leave me alone. Yeah, we'll see. So other business in the world that we have to discuss, anything other than Smash?
I feel like I had something and I can't remember what it is now.
I went to a Broadway show this week. I got to see A Streetcar Named Desire.
How was that?
It was okay. Because what I've realized about that show in particular, but also all Tennessee Williams shows, is it's a play that gets revived fairly often because it's such a meaty play, because every actress over, you know, 40 wants to be Blanche DuBois because it's such a good role. And every actor wants to eventually be Stanley. And it's fine, but it's just, you can only do so much with the play itself because the play is so specifically set and the language is so specific. You can only interpret the characters so much because Tennessee Williams gives you so much that you can't go outside the box you can with a lot of other playwrights. Mm-hmm. But the big twist they did with this one was that it was a primarily African-American cast. So Blair Underwood and his abs played Stanley. They took out the last names to make it not so weird that a black man was Polish. And that aspect of it worked well because they also did something interesting where kind of like Stanley, Blair Underwood is a very dark black man. And the Blanche and Stella were much lighter skinned. So you still kind of had this difference in class and it still made sense in the context of the show. So that aspect was interesting and Blair Underwood was very good. He took his shirt off and the entire crowd of Broadway theater goers like kind of gasped at it. 'Cause my God, that man has abs. It's scary how many he has. And the main thing about it that I, was happy to see was it was the first time I've ever seen a Blanche that I really liked. 'Cause usually that's the kind of role that, like when I saw, they did the show a couple of years ago with Natasha Richardson and John C. Reilly. John C. Reilly was just terribly miscast. Mm-hmm. And Natasha Richardson was just bad. And I always liked her, but she just kind of played it really lazy. And she was so unlikable and everything. And this Blanche, who was a television actress, who was on Soul Food, I think, was kind of her, what people would recognize her from. Not me, because I didn't watch Soul Food, but I guess other people who did. But she just played it a different way than I've ever seen it played, where she played it with so much confidence that it really was an interesting take on the character. And it was like, definitely if you see the show, that reason to see it is because it's like the best Blanche I've seen. So that was a Streetcar. Other, I had problems with it. I thought Daphne Rubin Vega, who was Mimi in the original Rent, was Stella. And I just thought she was really miscast. Mm-hmm. But it was an interesting stab at the show, I thought.
I remember what I was going to say. Did you watch last night's Saturday Night Live by any chance?
I totally did not. Who was on it?
It was Will Ferrell.
No, I was at your birthday party, bitch.
No, I know, but I didn't know if you DVR'd Saturday Night Live.
I usually don't. How was it?
It was good. He's Will Ferrell, that he was made to do this. So, I'm sorry. Hold on 1 second.
What's the kitten doing?
Nothing. Someone's knocking on my door. Hang on a second.
Did the cat have visitors?
It was my brother asking to borrow my scissors, but now that she's like, right now she's confined to my room, but as we go in and out, she's realizing that there's a world out there. So now she's sitting at the door crying. I don't know if you can hear her.
Oh my God, I can. It's really cute. Sounding painful.
Mjolnir, get the mouse.
Get the mouse, Mjolnir. Go get that mouse.
Mjolnir.
The award-winning podcasting right
here. It is.
Here.
It really is. Uh-huh. I apologize. I was saying that they made a Glee joke during Weekend Update.
Ah, did they?
it was... they basically, I guess Bristol Palin said that Obama is taking advice from his daughters now, that maybe they've been watching too many episodes of Glee. Is that, I think that was the actual news story.
Did she actually say that?
Yeah.
Hilarious.
I think she did. I'm not sure what the actual joke was. I forget. I should have rewatched it again and written it down, but I didn't. So, but yeah, I thought that was funny that she actually said that.
Wait. I'm confused. Bristol Palin said that in real life, or they made it a joke?
Yeah, that was, yeah. It was Weekend Update. So he was like, Bristol Palin said blah, 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 blah. And then the joke came after, and I don't remember what the actual joke was.
Okay.
I'm not the best at doing this. I need to learn to actually take notes when I watch things if I'm going to, you know, try and talk about them in some sort of manner.
It's fair, because I'm not the best at watching news or knowing what's going on in the world.
Yeah, I get my news from Weekend Update. So.
Yeah, no, that's... I need to start watching The Daily Show again just so I can get news.
Yeah.
Because it is a problem. Like, I mean, that is the kind of quote that I'm glad I've heard that, because I find it very amusing and blah, blah. But I should have heard that before. Yeah, I just should watch the news. But the news sucks, man. Yeah,
it's so depressing.
It cramped my style. Why watch the news when I can watch this movie about Soviet Russia and war crimes, you know?
Here's the actual story. I just Googled Bristol Palin Glee. So the title of the article is Lea Michele Amber Riley of Glee Respond to Bristol Palin. So it'll have the start of the story in there. So Bristol Palin is facing major backlash after bashing President Barack Obama's decision to support same-sex marriage. In a blog post titled Hail to the Chiefs, Malia and Sasha Obama, Palin criticized Mr. Obama, claiming he lets his two daughters, who have friends with same-sex parents, influence big decisions. She also calls out the Fox hit show Glee, leading two members of the show's cast to respond. While it's great to listen to your kids' ideas, there's also a time when dads simply need to be dads, Palin wrote on Thursday. In this case, it would have been helpful for him to explain to Malia and Sasha that while her friends' parents are no doubt lovely people, there's no reason to change thousands of years of thinking about marriage. Palin, a single mother herself, wrote, "We know that in general, kids do better growing up in a mother-father home. Ideally, fathers help shape the kids' worldview." She took aim at Glee, suggesting Mr. Obama's stance was based on watching too many episodes of the hit Fox TV series. "Sometimes dads should lead their family in the right ways of thinking," Palin explained. "In this case, it would have been nice if the president would have been an actual leader and helped shape their thoughts instead of merely reflecting what many teenagers think after one too many episodes of Glee." Celebrities, including some Glee cast members, have taken to Twitter to respond. So let's see. Amber Riley tweeted, "We support you, Barack Obama, and commend you for taking a stand. Equality, love is love. Glee supports Obama." And Lea Michele tweeted, "Amen," and retweeted what Amber Riley said.
way to get him, Lea.
You guys go. Yeah, but she took a shot.
Oh, God. It's like you can't even... It's not even... Like, you just... I got nothing. I don't even know how to respond to it.
But, yeah, there is no way to respond. Yeah.
Okay, Bristol, go get pregnant again.
Yeah.
And buy a guy in Playboy. Okay. Well, we should talk about Smash because we only have one episode left.
Yes, we do.
So on last week's episode, peanut allergy.
Oh, God.
Ellis did it, right? Ellis totally poisoned her. He had to poison her. It had to be Ellis.
I guess. Who else was it going to be? He was the one making her smoothies, right?
I don't remember if he was or not. But the this week, it's like Eileen saying he's fired. So it's got to be Ellis. Who else would poison her?
Yeah. I mean, he was making her smoothies two episodes ago, remember? Because he made what's her face one.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember I don't remember not liking this episode. I don't remember anything about it. I thought there was like one really good song. Am I crazy? Was there?
Well, it was the whole episode with the ending, right? And the death scene.
Oh, right. And then you have... The frustrating thing about the episode this week was that I felt like, again, the showbiz stuff was good. I liked seeing them be like, oh, crap, we can't end the show this way. Like, all of that stuff I liked. And then you have to have Julia being like, I'm not going to write an ending to the show because I had an affair and I'm angry at you for letting me have an affair. Oh, fucking guy, Deborah Messing's character.
Yeah, she's bad.
It's like, I don't know how nobody can see it on the writing staff there.
I don't know. They're all blind to it. And then we also had the whole Dev and Ivy, we slept together thing.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
That's going to come out at an inopportune moment and we'll accept it.
Yep, pretty much.
Yep. So, I mean, I'm excited for the finale. Who do you think is going to be Marilyn?
I don't know.
Do you still really want Kyren to be Marilyn?
I do like Ivy more than I did in the beginning. And I do like that they're kind of friends now.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know. I still don't think Ivy deserves it. Because she's not a good person. Like,
That doesn't matter. Sean Penn is probably not a good person, but he can't say he's a bad actor.
That's true, but she's like a...
So what? Should we recast Mystic River with Mark Harmon and Keanu Reeves? Is that what you're saying?
Why would we do that?
Because they're considered nice guys.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what I think. I find it hard to form opinions about that show because it just doesn't actually factor into anything that I'm like, whatever. This is like, it's like a piece of candy. Like you enjoy it while it's on and then you immediately forget about it after you're done because it has no nutritional value whatsoever.
Yep. That's a good analogy. I like that.
Thanks. I was actually pretty proud of that analogy once it came out of my mouth.
Be. You should
be. I was like, hey, I sound kind of smart right now.
Look, it's all about age.
Yes.
1 year older, that's 1 year better analogy.
Totally.
All right, so should we attack this episode?
Yes, we should.
All right, we've got Promosaurus, written by Ryan Murphy. Directed by Eric Stoltz.
That, not so much. Not so bad.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, break out those Stegosaurus tiaras. It's the senior prom, a land of spiked punch, dinosaur heads, and a lack of hair gel. A rule that stresses Blaine out far enough that he agrees to attend Rachel's anti-prom hotel party, along with the reigning queen, Kurt, the Niata-depressed Rachel, the maybe-not-graduating Puck, and the non-queen nominee, Becky. Back at McKinley, High's gymnasium, Quinn is wheeling herself to the sentimental vote, despite the fact that she can actually walk, a fact that disturbs her running mate, Finn. Although our blonde recovering texture does indeed earn the most votes, she decides with Santana to make a difference in her high school legacy and give the crown to Rachel Berry. Because that is how you make the world a better place. Will and Emma danced all night, Finn almost started another fight, and Turkey Legs learned that girls in dresses pack big bites, and that's what you missed on Glee!
Ow. This was a weird episode.
This was a very weird episode.
Because it was so non-offensive, but really offensive at the same time.
Yeah, I could see that. It was, I mean, a fluffy episode, and, you know, we've seen them kind of rotate between really dark issue episodes, kind of mixed episodes, and just fluffy episodes, and I feel like they haven't done one of these in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But the weird thing was, it just wasn't fun enough. If they had taken this a few steps farther, it would have just ended up being a good time. Because I know there were things about this, I'm sure, that we all really liked. I know I did. There were, like, parts of it that I really liked. But ultimately, there was one thing about it that just left such a fucking bad taste in my mouth. And it just was ultimately like a meh episode.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much of it is the fact that, well, this Tuesday we have a 2-hour episode.
Yeah. So, what's that about?
Oh, God. Did they do that last year?
No, I don't think so.
Remember. 2 fucking hours. I don't know about this.
I don't know if I can handle it.
Stop it. Stop eating the broom. Okay. Sorry. He's going to puke or poop that out later. So, all right. So plot wise, what do you want to do here?
Let's do Brittany, I guess.
Okay. So Figgins calls Brittany in her office and basically says, oh, hey, remember that episode thing a while back where it was like a 4-episode thing where you were class president? Yeah, you got to do something about it because otherwise I'm disbanding the presidency.
Mm-hmm.
So one important thing we learned about this is that Brittany is a senior.
Yes, she is.
They've kind of haven't mentioned anything about that in a while.
No.
And remember, the thing I pointed out a few weeks ago is when they keep showing the Glee graduation album, the cover of it is like all the seniors and she's not in there, is she?
No, she's not.
Yeah, so I'm wondering...
But, like, isn't Santana not on it either?
No, I think Santana is. It's like Mike Chang is in there. Santana is. Sam is not. But, like, Rachel, Finn, Kurt, like, all the people we totally knew were seniors are on there. And then, like... So it's weird. It's very odd.
Santana is there. It's Finn, Mercedes, Santana, Rachel, Puck, Quinn, Mike Chang, Kurt.
So what's interesting to me about that is that they have Mike Chang on there. Because I remember, like, I feel like there was another CD where they didn't, because he didn't sing. And just the fact that they're putting him on there makes me think, well, A, okay, maybe he sings in the graduation album, something. But also that, like, okay, these are the people who are definitely graduating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why isn't, like, you would put Heather Morris on there unless she's not graduating.
Maybe she's not. Maybe they're going to swap Puck's storyline and Britney's not going to graduate.
Makes perfect sense. Instead of him. I mean, I thought this was funny. I like the idea of, like, oh, yeah, remember, you're class president. You haven't done anything. Although I know I skimmed through our feedback. I didn't read all of it in detail, but I remember someone, I don't remember who, we'll find out, you know, in like a half hour. Someone made a really good comment of, yeah, it's cute, but Glee keeps doing this where it's like, oh, yeah, remember the storyline we abandoned weeks ago? Ha ha ha, here it is again. And you're right. It is getting annoying.
It is, but I feel like it works for her because I feel like Britney would actually forget that she was class president.
Yeah, fair enough. But the dinosaur prom is a hit.
It is, and I think it was kind of fun. I wouldn't mind
it. Don't you wish you had one?
Yeah. Want that riding dinosaur and those goofy pictures.
And turkey legs.
Yeah, giant turkey legs.
Yeah. So along with the prom now, this affects Blaine, does it not?
It does, because, you know, they didn't have hair gel when dinosaurs and cavemen lived together, so we're not allowed to wear hair gel till the prom.
Right. So Blaine reveals his true hair. Yes. I thought this, I mean, obviously it was kind of like the light, the really fluffy part of the episode, but it was cute just because, again, Darren Criss sells it so well. Yeah. And it was like they had a lot of fun with it. And just, you know, in contrast to like Kurt, because remember a year ago, like this was a devastating episode for Kurt. Mm-hmm. So Kurt's afraid this is going to happen again. Rachel is still depressed about failing at her dreams. And then you have Blaine is like, I know, guys, it really is bad. You're going to have to see my hair. Like, I thought that actually worked really well and did like kind of very cutely balanced everything out.
It was adorable. And he did kind of look like a cute chip, but it was cute anyway.
But really cute. I kind of like the fro.
I was going to say something about him. I don't remember what it was. Oh, well.
Becky Puck.
Yeah. So at the anti-prom, everybody leaves and goes to the real prom, leaving Becky and Puck alone. Mm-hmm. Oh, I know what I was going to say. But why did she ban just hair gel? Why didn't she ban, like,
because it's Britney.
Cell phones and
because it's Britney.
Electricity and, like, I don't know. It was an odd thing for her to pick. Like, it was, I mean, clearly it was just for the storyline, so it felt a little thrown in, but it was a cute storyline anyway, so.
Yep.
And like I said, that's kind of like the non-offensive part. Like, it was all fluffy and cute and, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so Becky and Puck, was Becky drunk? Are we supposed to think she was drunk?
I don't think so.
Because he made their crowns out of a case of beer.
I mean, they were drinking, but I feel like Becky could hold her liquor.
Yeah, I guess she could. So she's upset she didn't get nominated for prom queen, and as a result is breaking xylophones willy-nilly.
Yep.
And what kind of gets Puck to play strip poker with her, and then they have a very sweet moment. It was a nice storyline.
It was. I liked it. I was happy with it. Two characters that I don't think we've really seen together.
Yeah,
and
no.
They played off each other really well.
Yeah, he was really great, I think. Mm-hmm.
And
he played it like believable, you know, think of Puck season one, like he would never do that. But I believe that his character has grown that much. And
yeah. And it wasn't condescending, which I think is a dangerous line they could toe with Becky. Definitely. Was it wasn't Puck being like, OK, you're my date to the prom. Like, it was. And again, they've done this well with Becky because they've made her kind of a little spitfire and they've made her, you know, not accept pity and all this other stuff. So it worked really well, and it just felt natural. And I think this kind of gets into the whole prom queen story. I have issues with the prom queen story.
Yeah.
And the easy way out of it for me would have been if they had given the crown to Becky.
Right.
On the other hand, maybe that would have been condescending. I don't know.
I don't know, but wouldn't that have, like, actually been changing something instead of giving the unpopular?
Certainly, like, would have been better to giving it to
Missy Gunderson?
Girl, or Missy fucking, who the fuck is Missy Gunderson?
That's what I have written in my notes. Who is Missy Gunderson, first of all?
I made that a plot point because I'm like, who is Missy Gunderson? It's got to be something. And I'm thinking of like the Buffy episode where, like, whenever you have that like prom queen and you know everybody and then there's one other person, that it's got to be that other person who wins. But no, Missy Gunderson was just there.
Yeah. And why did we give her a name and a nomination if we weren't, like, that would have been the better storyline for me was not giving it to Rachel, but giving it to Missy Gunderson.
Yeah. The, like, okay. So, we'll just talk about the Rachel thing.
Okay. She's so sad this whole episode.
Like, and I understand that. Like, yes. And first of all, and, you know, she, again, the character acknowledges, I should have had a backup plan. Well, yeah, the fuck you should have. But okay, like, we get that. And I get that her, she would be sad. And, like, yeah, like, I don't want to do anything. And I even understood her anger at Quinn. Like, I think, yes, it's ridiculous, but I could understand it.
Oh, because, yeah.
You know, she explains it. She's like, you don't understand, like, what you mean to me. You are that thing that I will never be. You are the girl everybody looks at and everybody thinks is pretty and who is always going to be more popular and everything else. And even though, you know, I know what you've gone through, like, I'm still going to always essentially be jealous of you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like that because I think that's an interesting dynamic. I believe that of people. I think, you know, women especially have that with each other.
Especially high school girls. Like, that would have, that's completely how I would have reacted to my boyfriend in high school.
Right.
Like, no, this isn't okay. You can't campaign with another girl. Like, that's not okay with me.
Yeah.
And, you know, now I, like, obviously now being 29, I'd be like, yeah, whatever, that's fine.
Right,
like,
I
trust you and I'm an adult, but high school Erica would have totally been like, fuck no.
Right. It makes perfect sense. The problem is that they gave Rachel the fucking crown.
Yeah.
Because you have, okay, so Quinn and Finn are campaigning together, and we realize at a certain point that Quinn can walk. I mean, not well, but that she can now stand up and stand there and walk a little bit. And she is hiding this because she does want the sympathy vote. Because, oh yeah, remember, Quinn still cares about these things, even though she keeps not caring about these things.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Deanna of Aragon.
Yeah, and you know what? This was the one episode where I lost faith in her acting.
I just think, what can you do when every week it, you know, every other week it's, I'm a good person now, I've changed. Nope, I'm crazy. No, I'm a good person, I've changed. Nope, I'm still really emotionally needy. No, I'm a good person, I've changed. It is, I think she might be the most inconsistently written character on television.
Yeah, but this is where we always say she always brings everyone up to her level. This, yeah. I think this was the one episode, excuse me, that scene in the bathroom with Finn, that was a moment where he brought her down.
Yeah, well,
like,
I mean, that's
when she was like, we're a shoo-in, I need you. They were like, so, the lines were just so poorly delivered. I was like, what is going on?
Like, I mean, it can't be easy. You just got to pity the girl.
Yeah, it sucks.
Okay, here you have a terrible storyline, and you're going to act beside the worst actor on the show. Go. But you get to look really pretty.
So there's that.
You know. So, yeah, I mean, that the decision of let's make a difference. Let's give the crown to our friend who's got a boyfriend, who's really pretty, whose parents are rich. Like, what the fuck else do you want to give this girl? Want to buy her a car while you're at it?
Yeah. And you know what the other thing is? I feel like if this happened at the end of season one, I would have been okay with it. But Rachel's,
because season one, Rachel was a sad character.
And I feel like they were trying to, like, call back to that Rachel, but they couldn't because she's changed too much since then.
You can't look at her now. Like, and again, like, the fact is, season one, the Glee kids are getting slushied every day.
Mm-hmm.
In this episode, they're singing on stage and people are, like, throwing keys and bras at them. Like, it's, you know, it's fine for the show to be about how the Glee Club is no longer about outsiders, or how these outsiders have kind of found a way to be comfortable and everything else. But don't keep pretending that they're still outsiders when they're not.
Yep.
Yeah. And it was very, like, because I kept comparing it to the Beverly Hills 90210 senior breakfast.
Yeah.
Where
no one else is in the video.
Right. They're like, okay, this is a flashback to all the great things we did as a senior class. And the entire episode is flashbacks to these seven characters. And you look, like, it pans to the crowd and they're like, yeah, Kelly Taylor. It's like, oh, wow. There's like 500 kids in that class who never had any memories, apparently.
Yep.
Yeah.
So. Are there any other plot points? Is that it?
Oh, pretty much no, I would say. Right? Like, this was a very plot light episode.
And you know what I want to know? Why didn't, instead of this Missy Gunderson character, why didn't Sugar Mata get the nom?
Well, she's not a senior.
Well, we had a prom last year where Kurt was...
That was the junior prom, Erica. Don't you remember?
But they didn't even say that. Like,
they did. No, remember? Quinn distinctively said last year, you only get one junior prom.
Oh. No, but I'm saying this year, they were like... Brittany was like, so we have another prom this year? Like...
I don't know. I thought it was just clear that that was junior prom. This was senior prom.
Oh, okay. Because yep. I feel like Sugar's bought enough people things in that school right. that they would have given her that vote.
Yeah, no, I think that will be next year if the show, whatever incarnation it's in, if it's Glee in space or whatnot.
Yeah, jump that shark.
Yeah, I'll wait for you.
All right, so you want to talk about the songs?
Let's talk about the songs.
So the first song was Big Girls Don't Cry by Fergie.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have absolutely nothing written next to this.
Okay, I have a few things.
Okay.
I liked it. I liked that it was three people singing. It was Rachel and then essentially being backed up by Kurt and Blaine.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't revolutionary, but I just liked that it was a little different.
It was just kind of bland for me. And mm-hmm. It was one of those instances where I just didn't find the lyrics fit the situation.
I don't know. I thought it actually did, but.
Well, it's like about the song in general confuses me. I'm looking up the lyrics.
Yeah, because I remember I didn't pay attention to it the first time. The second time I was kind of listening because I had a feeling that question would come up. And at least, I don't know, maybe just the chorus again. Like, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, that fits.
I mean, it's about a breakup. The smell of your skin lingers on me. You're probably on your flight home back to your hometown.
Which could be about Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah, I'm sure Rachel smells like Whoopi Goldberg. I need some shelter of my own protection to be with myself and center, clarity, peace, serenity.
Sense.
But the song, like, I hope you know this has nothing to do with you. It's personal. Me, myself, and I, we've got something, some straighten out to do.
She's got to figure out what to do.
I'm going to miss you like a child misses their blanket.
It's her dream. She's going to miss her dream. It was her blanket.
But I've got to get a move on with my life. It's time to be a big girl now. Big girls don't cry. Right. That I don't have a problem with.
I think it makes sense.
All right.
It's a metaphor. Oh, the blonde guitarist was back looking really enthusiastic and it's distracting and I don't like him.
He hasn't distracted me. I did try to look for him, but I think I waited too long. I forgot about it until we were already at the prom, and then he didn't get any close-ups.
We'll see if he makes his, if he hangs around.
Okay, so the next song I actually loved.
Dinosaur?
By Key $, huh? Yeah.
That was amazing.
It was so good. And I love this song to begin with. I really actually like the Kesha CD. I don't know why. It's just like a guilty pleasure.
Sure.
You know, when you're driving in the car and it's a summer day and the windows are down. And I did always like this song off of that. So I was like super excited when Britney sang it because obviously Britney is their Kesha.
Right. She looks like her. Yeah.
And she can't actually sing. So, you know.
But I mean, she danced amazingly. She was dressed like a cavewoman. It was a great number because again, like the cheerleaders had dinosaur heads on, which had to be really hard to dance in.
Yes. Very difficult. And, did you take note of Britney's thighs during this number? Cause they're amazing.
I didn't, but I'm sure they must be.
Yeah. They were absolutely incredible. Like every time she did that, like partial squat and flew her arms around, I was like, wow, I would really like her thighs, please. literally that's what I wrote. It was Dinosaur, Kesha, love it, and Brit spies, and that's kind of all I have to say about it.
I can see that. Yeah, no, I thought that was easily the high point for me.
Yeah, definitely. It was so much fun. And it's just a catchy song.
Yeah. It was just, and I hadn't heard it before.
Oddly enough, I never realized that she does actually spell dinosaur in its entirety. It's just that the UR also works for the next line. It's very clever.
D-I-N-O-S-A-U-R, a dinosaur. Yes. Wow.
Right? You don't realize it.
That is some Bob Dylan at work right there.
It is. It's amazing. I don't know how I never realized it before. I felt kind of dumb when I was singing it. And I was like, oh.
It's all confusing.
Because I was like, she doesn't spell the whole thing. She just says, you are a dinosaur. And then I was like, oh, you are.
A dinosaur.
Then we have Love You Like a Love Song, which
that one.
Selena Gomez. I feel like I have poor feelings towards Selena Gomez, but I guess I don't, because I actually kind of like this song.
Okay.
And Shane has a new girlfriend to eat during this song.
He does. Oh, she's very skinny though. So yeah. that's not going to last.
It's not, because he's not going to be fulfilled by that.
Right. Although maybe he already took a lot of chunks off of her.
It's possible.
Maybe that's why she's so skinny.
Maybe that's how she got into her prom dress.
It's possible. Yeah. I like that moment. It was a nice sense of closure. And again, that actor got to be on an episode and say nothing.
Yeah. I actually saw his name in the opening credits and I was like, oh no. And then he just did that. And I was like, oh, all right, I'm fine with that.
Well, that's that then. Yeah.
It actually took me about 15 minutes when I was writing my notes, though, to think of his name.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck was his name?
Well, because to you, he's Durden.
Yeah, he's Tyler Durden, or he's Tinker, which is Tinker is what he is on Friday Night Lights.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I thought that was funny. I was like, what is his name? And then I was like, oh, Shane.
This song, the only thing I liked was I liked that Santana was singing it, as opposed to like another Rachel song or something. But I don't remember anything about it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Then we have What Makes You Beautiful by One Direction.
Or the one the boys sing, as I called it.
Yes. Do you know who One Direction is?
No, but I find their name amusing in the context of Glee.
They're basically, yes, that is funny. they're like a really, really, really crazy popular boy band in the UK.
Okay.
And they like just landed here.
UK, okay. Sorry.
Yes. They like just started to make it. Well, I guess they just got big enough to get onto my radar is, I guess, what I'm saying. Because I'm pretty sure they've been big for a little while now. But they were on an SNL episode. That's where I first heard about them. We haven't done any bar mitzvahs lately, so I'm very like down on my...
You're out of touch with what the kids are listening to these days.
My teenage pop music. Yep. But yeah, they... and you know where else I saw them? I saw them around Christmas time. They were on the tree lighting.
Okay.
They sang a song.
Okay.
What I thought was funny is that I felt like Damien actually did really well in this situation because that's what he did.
He is trained to be in a boy band. That was his when he was in Celtic Thunder from Down Under.
Yes. And then my other note, I mean, the song is, you know, the song is the song. It's a silly little pop
song. It's a fun boy band song.
But I have never been as attracted to Trouty Mouth as when he mussed up his hair and got all sexy with the song.
And when he picked up Artie.
Yes, that was great.
It was cute. I've been really liking Sam, and I hope they keep him around.
Yeah. He's been doing some good things.
Yeah. Oh, and yeah, at some point, him and Mercedes got back together.
Right.
Right. Because we were supposed to care about that, but then apparently not, because the show didn't.
We'll talk about Mercedes in a few minutes.
Okay, then. The thing I liked about the song, I liked that it was, again, the non-central Glee characters performing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Finn wasn't up there. It was all the other guys, and I like that.
Well, and Puck wasn't up there either.
Puck wasn't up there. Kurt and Blaine weren't up there, right?
So it was Sam, Joe, Damien, Artie.
Mike.
And Mike. Oh, kitten, don't walk across the computer. We don't need you to stop our recording. You're still there, right?
Technical difficulty.
The kitten walked across the keyboard and turned off my Wi-Fi.
Of course that kitten did.
I was like...
Kitten who doesn't even have enough weight to stand on anything and make a difference, Erica. Yeah. Nice excuse.
She stepped right on the Wi-Fi button and turned it off. I didn't even know I had a button to turn off my Wi-Fi.
The cute kitten did it.
She definitely did. And now she's climbing. Can you not climb? Where are you going?
A little yell.
She's far away, too. She's all the way across my room.
She's loud, man.
Yeah, she is. She just her carrier is sitting on top of a small suitcase, and she just climbed on top of the suitcase on top of the carrier, and now she's just...
That little girl. Impressive.
I don't know what she's doing. I don't know why she's crying. She'll probably be ready to eat soon. That might be why. Anyway, she turned off the Wi-Fi, so let's commence.
Okay, so we were up to the last song, Take My Breath Away.
Yes. This song. I don't love this song, so... But I feel like that's what a prom song has to be.
Yeah, it's such a prom song, yeah. And it sounded nice. Again, Santana and Quinn singing makes for an interesting duet. It was pretty. The thing that bugged me was that it was like the Rachel coronation song, and like the girls are like watching it and crying as if like, oh my God, Rachel Berry won. I'm so happy for her. Fucking everybody hates Rachel.
Yep. Ugh. But, you know, everyone gets sentimental at the end of school and you like people you didn't like before. And
you're so happy that that really attractive girl who's really talented and wealthy just got crowned prom queen.
Yeah, apparently you are.
Uh-huh. Yep, yep, yep. All right, should we move on to high notes?
Sure.
Please.
Okay, here, I'm going to do three high notes in conjunction with one low note.
Okay, go for it.
High note, Kurt's prom attire.
Mm.
High note, Brittany's prom attire.
Mm.
High note, Rachel's prom attire. Low note, Mercedes' prom attire. What did they put that girl
in? Yeah, I don't like it.
That was terrible for everyone else to be like, looking really good. Like, Rachel looked gorgeous in that dress.
Yeah, that was a really... It was a very Oscar-y dress.
Yeah, and it was a Rachel dress. I believe that she would have worn that dress. Mm-hmm. Brittany looked awesome. You know, I've done that look before to various occasions. My junior prom, I wore, like, a tulle skirt with a tank top. And our senior banquet in college, I wore the same tulle skirt with, literally, like, with a wife beater.
Mm-hmm.
It's a look that I enjoy. And Kurt looked adorable with his top hat and his, like, loose vest. And
Santana and Quinn looked very prom-like.
Yeah, they looked like they were at the prom, yes.
They looked like they were at the prom, which is fine. Yeah, Mercedes was just in a really unflattering dress.
Oh, and her hair was so severe with all the volume.
But, you know, I mean, some people have really shitty prom pictures.
I suppose. So yeah, okay. Do you want to go now?
Well, Brittany had a lot of great, one-liners in this episode.
She did.
The first of which that I noted was I was inspired by the new girl, Joe, who reminds me of a cavewoman.
Yes.
It was just wonderful. Sue had some great moments. Wait, who said this line might've been a Santana line when she referred to Kurt and Blaine as the two gay Winklevoss twins?
No, I think maybe it was Santana. I don't remember. But I remember the line.
Again, like, kind of chuckled. I like that Santana was, like, that speech Santana gave to Rachel. Of like, oh, woe is me, you fucked up, and now you're trying to make everybody else feel bad about it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, Santana obviously tells it like it is. And sometimes it's annoying, and sometimes it's out of place. But in that case, I'm like, yeah, you tell her. I liked Mike's glee at the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
It's really cute.
There's a triceratops.
I like that there were turkey legs at the prom because I like turkey legs and I like that.
Doesn't.
I kind of like that Mercedes had that closure moment with Shane.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the pictures at the end were really cute.
Yeah. They were definitely a high note for me because they were funny.
Yeah. I'll get to one note regarding that in a moment. But then my only other high note was such a gigantic high note was possibly my favorite line or insult of the show, maybe ever in life, was when Sue referred to Joe as Jar Jar Binks. It makes the casting of that man worth it for that alone.
Yes, it did. I had a few others. Puck in his Star Wars underwear.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I love when Blaine is like, well, I'll just pretend to be an ice sculpture if Brittany sees me and she'll just pass me by.
It was cute.
And then Kurt and Blaine have a whole Bravo moment where they're talking about Tabitha again.
I had a feeling you would comment on that.
Yes, it made me funny. I know I have you know why? Because I know that episode and it's a really good episode. The one with the passive aggressive lesbian in the doggy daycare. Because the woman
at
is seriously
like. At first I thought
like,
they were watching Cinemax.
No. I'm nervous the cat is going to turn off the Wi-Fi again. You're still there, right?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Now she's trying to print things. I don't have a printer. She's very quick.
She bought a Groupon. She really wants to use it.
She's very quick. I can't always catch her. I was just looking at my notes, actually, and one of my notes was why couldn't Blaine use a different product? And I was like, mousse or leave-in conditioner. But instead of mousse, I wrote mouse, which I thought was kind of funny. Just me being ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So there's a doggy daycare, and the woman is just like, She's terrible to her employees. She's just like, her employees are very like matter of fact. And like, these are the things she does that we don't like. And we don't feel valued and we don't feel this, this, or this. And there's just this one employee that this woman just clearly hates. And I don't know why she doesn't just fire her, but she's like, oh, I don't remember the employee's name. We'll say it was like Linda. She's like, oh, I don't think Linda can do this. She brings them to like a grooming school to like assess their skills by an actual groomer. And the passive aggressive lesbian is like, oh, I just don't think Linda's going to succeed at this. No. And she gets really good marks with like the groomer who assessed her talent. Mm-hmm. And she just like refuses to believe it. And she's so mean to her. It's a really interesting episode. If you can find it, you should search it out.
Okay.
I was just very...
Is she in New York or is it somewhere else?
No, it's not in New York. She travels...
Then I might go to the place and then I totally want to watch it.
She travels all over. So I'm not really sure where it is. Okay.
I'm going through... You have a couple of other notes that are of interest.
I do? You're reading
my notes. Yes, I am. That Rachel... Oh, the one thing we didn't talk about was the Brittany student council meeting or Brittany prom meeting.
Oh, yeah.
Which I thought was really funny.
It was. I'm sorry, Rachel. She thought that girl was Rachel.
That was Rachel. That was kind of great. My prom was also not in the gym.
Oh, okay. Good. I forgot.
Yeah, no, ours was at like the Huntington Townhouse, which is like a fancy place people get married in.
You know that
like,
place closed, right?
Oh, did
Isn't
it?
Isn't that sad?
It's kind of sad.
One of my friend's Sweet 16s was there. Yeah, I work right by where it used to be. It's like all torn down and stuff now. But yeah, my prom was at Westlake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my junior prom was at Westlake.
Catering hall. So right. Like what is with all these TV shows? Is that like is that a New York thing to have your prom in a place? Like do other places have their proms in the high school gym?
That's a good question. Cuz I don't know.
Every TV show does. Midwesterners, to please write to us and tell us. Cuz I'm very curious about that.
Yeah, as am I.
Oh, and whose face was that on the castle in the clouds?
Oh, I didn't look.
Cuz at for a second I thought it was Tyrion.
Oh my God, that would be amazing.
I was like, holy shit, did I just get a Game of Thrones reference on Glee?
That would be so great if it was.
But then I looked again and I was like, oh, I don't know. I can't tell. There wasn't like a clear enough shot of it that I could actually see.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Low notes. I have two.
Okay.
My main thing being making a difference at this school essentially means rigging an election so that one of your friends wins prom queen.
Yep.
I don't know how that makes a difference in life. And my other low note is a specific thing. I have a pet peeve. I hate cutesy pictures where the one person, it's a couple, and one person is looking straight at the camera and the other person is like kissing that person as if to be like, I'm so in love with you. Because it always makes a person looking at the camera be like, yeah, that's right. I am. That person is in love with me. And what do you know? Who did that picture? Will and Emma. Where it's like Emma's really cute and like kissing Will on the cheek and he's just looking at the camera like, yeah, that's right, I tap that. And I hate those kind of pictures. They just piss me off.
We take those at every wedding that we shoot.
Do you do them both ways?
Yeah.
Okay. I hate them because my brother just had engagement pictures and he has one of them like that and I'm like, oh God, don't use that one.
Yeah, they're a very 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 traditional photo.
I hate them. Did you notice?
Yes. Oh, and my other is Becky is an underclassman.
Okay, yeah, good point. Because they kept saying that.
Yeah, Rachel made a point to be like, oh, I invited some of the underclassmen, and then you see her inviting Becky.
Right, so why did Becky need
to be prom? Did Becky want to be queen of the senior prom? That bothered me.
Good question. I was also, kind of, now that I think about it, a little disappointed in the narration. Because, like, yay, Helen Mirren, I think, was back. But I didn't think they did anything with it this time.
Yeah, it was
so good last time, but it was like they just tried using it again and didn't
anything with it.
Yeah, it was just there, and that kind of bothered me. Did you have any more low notes?
No.
Okay, I have a few stray observations.
Okay.
I really like that all Will and Emma did the entire episode was get cut to them dancing on the floor.
Because
I like to think that, like, Matthew Morrison and Jayma Mays had to, like, shoot the whole week just dancing, in the background for, like, a week straight, and that it was kind of like they shoot horses, don't they? Where there's like a dance competition, and you just have to dance like nonstop until you die. Kind of what I thought of with them. The Tina had a moment where Tina was crying and Mike's like, why are you crying? And she's like, I just don't want it to end. And it made me realize like, okay, we had some nice Tina Mike stuff a while back, but like, are they going to acknowledge the fact that Mike is probably going to New York or somewhere and Tina's not? Is that going to be a thing at all? I don't know.
I don't know.
Because, I mean, they are, you know, she's still has a year of school and he's going somewhere. So, curious about that. I'm curious if we'll see that. I hope that was, like, hinted at this week and then it will actually be a plot point next week or the week after. Because I would like them to have a conversation or closure or something. Like, I'd be bummed if it's just them gone next year. Who knows?
Yeah.
And then the last thing. Okay, so whenever they do promos for Glee, have you noticed this? Are those promos from, like, 3 years ago?
I didn't see the promo this week.
They, well, not the promos, but like the, and now coming up next after, before New Girl, it's Glee. And when it's like, they'll show like Santana and Brittany, like with slushy, throwing slushies at the camera, that kind of thing.
Oh.
Where it's like, they're in a white background kind of thing.
Yeah. It's probably from,
it's so weird.
Well, it's probably from season two. Cause that was their whole theme. Season two was the slushy
thing.
Oh,
you're right. You're right. It's really bizarre that like, it, cause like Brittany had bangs and I think Rachel didn't. And Kurt had like his old hair. It was really weird and it made them all look really young and kind of confused me.
Yeah, I was super annoyed at my DVR this week because it put all, well, it recorded the whole coming attractions for next week, but it put them all on the New Girl recording.
Okay.
I had people here for once. We weren't at the Sultan's house. We were actually at my house because I had just gotten the kitten. So, we watched New Girl first because everybody wanted to watch New Girl first. So I fast forwarded through the promos. And then when I watch something, I automatically delete it without thinking.
Oh, so you didn't see them.
So I didn't get to see them.
Mostly they just showed it as like a 2-hour event and it was just nationals.
Oh, it's national. Oh, yeah. I guess it's
nationals next week.
It's nationals. And then we have two more episodes. Then we have
probably something in graduation, I would think.
It's like, what are the names of the episodes? It's like props. Something and goodbye.
Huh. Interesting.
Look. Don't so turn off the Wi-Fi, Mjolnir. You stay off my keyboard. That's what happens when I sit on the floor.
Oh, and we get special guest star Lindsay Lohan next week. Aren't you excited?
I'm thrilled.
Long Island represent.
Yeah, that's going to be a shit show. Oh, get off the keyboard.
Mjolnir!
Manu, you gave it an extra syllable.
Mjolnir, no.
Mjolnir. Still trying to get to what I'm doing. I will have an answer in 2 seconds. No, this week is not, unless they're combining two episodes into 1 week, because it lists as props, nationals, and then goodbye.
Okay, you know what? That kind of makes sense just because I was thinking even about a calendar, this thing that people made years ago where it tells you all the days. Looking at it, it would be kind of strange for them to go that deep into May because usually most episodes, most May sweeps usually ends that like the last week in May, not the final week in May, because that would put them, it's the 13th, so then the 15th is a 2-hour two episodes, and then the 22nd must be the finale. That makes more sense.
Okay.
And then the 29th, because by that last week of May is when it's people's like vacations have started.
Memorial Day, yeah.
It's Memorial Day weekend. A lot of schools were already closed by that point. Like, it is strange for a show to go that deep, the season finale. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's what they did. They did, it's 2 hours of Glee, meaning it is two distinctive episodes combined into one night of TV, and then the finale is the next week. That would make sense.
That does make sense. Okay. I'm glad we straightened that out.
Yep. But still, 2 fucking hours, man.
Yep.
I guess we'll cover it as a one episode.
Now, probably, yeah.
Right? We'll see as we get there. So are we ready to move on to feedback?
We are.
Okay. We have much.
We do. Apparently this episode I guess it was kind of like, I don't know, it was fluffy, but it had its moments.
It was
that made people talk.
I won't say it's polarizing, but yeah, it did things that I think riled people, maybe, is what we'll say. Where would you like to begin?
I'll start with Beth's.
Okay, do it.
She says, "Hi, Emily and Erica. A random collection of thoughts and observations about Glee's latest episode, Promisaurus. I don't write reviews because my parameters aren't that well defined. Well, it's time for prom at McKinley High, and upon first watching it, I found I liked the episode. This often happens to me because I don't know any better, and until people point out all the show faults, I don't have a problem with it. I had to wait for the fishing show on Discovery Channel to end so I could do my first rewatch of the night. Fixed a pitcher of strawberry daiquiris and enjoyed my first drink.
Nice.
You know that fishing show ain't half bad. Could use a little singing, though. Okay, the fishing show is over, but I need to get a second glass of strawberry daiquiri. I want to get into prom mode as much as possible.
That's the kind of drink I would have drank at prom, too, if I could have drank back then. Mjornar?
Yes. While I grab the kitten, I'm going to make this note, because I've been meaning to say it for a couple of weeks now, and I kept forgetting. I love our listeners, and that they are as dedicated as
we... Oh my god, I do!
...usually are, because, like... They, you guys actually watch the episode twice for us, and I find that amazing.
So wonderful.
Because it pains me to watch a lot of these episodes twice, so the fact that you guys actually watch them twice is amazing to me,
it
so
really
thank
is.
You for that. I've been meaning to, like, put that out on the Facebook group or in feedback, and I keep forgetting, so.
Virtual golf clap's going out.
Yeah, seriously. Okay, so Beth continues. Okay, some stuff about the student council and prom.
Wait, you skipped a paragraph.
Did I skip a paragraph? Okay.
Yeah, in the recap.
Sorry. In the recap, Brittany probably forgot she was elected president of the student council. Like that, take a drink. Rachel having an opening monologue. Oh, like that, take a drink.
Yeah.
Brittany accepted into Purdue. Go, Brittany. Wonder if she gets that there are dead chickens in there. Flashback to last year's prom episode in the home ec room and Brittany not wanting to crack open an egg. Take a drink.
Oh, wow.
I think the fact she mentioned she has stopped talking, take a drink. Oh, I like the fact that she mentioned she stopped talking, take a drink, because that was really true. Another drink.
Nice.
Okay, some stuff about the student council and prom themes. Brittany mistakes random girl for Rachel, take a drink. I'm really liking this episode so far. Flashback prom music from last year with Rachel pulling down the posters this time. Totally loving this. Take a drink. Blaine raising his hand at the end of first...
Sam, look at you, skip Sam.
Oh, God. It's very distracting to read with a cat. Sam looking out the window in the back.
I'll do the take a drinks. How's that?
What?
I'll do the take a drinks.
All right. Sam looking out the window in the back of the choir room.
Take a drink.
Blaine raising his hand at the end of first choir room scene. Maybe going to ask if Brittany could really ban hair gel.
Take a drink.
You know, alcohol really enhances the stuff you notice. Rats. Quinn and Joe at physical therapy. Minor whimper. Oh, God, Becky's inner voice is back.
Take a drink.
Becky goes all destruction on xylophones and students in the lunch line. Go, Becky.
Take a drink.
Might need to get a refill soon.
Uh-huh.
Nope, gotta watch the Clean Hummelberry Trio. Flashback to Rolling in the Deep from last year. Totally different song, of course. I would have loved to see Kurt in a full kilt, especially during a good twirl. Drink, drink, drink. I did those drinks, sorry.
You did. That's it.
No, Blaine, you're not going to look like Medusa. Joe does.
Another drink.
Back to the choir room. Artie mentioning his almost dental work last prom.
Drink.
Puck's siding with the anti-prom group. I like this, Puck.
Drink.
Time to pour another daiquiri because we are going to prom.
Woo-hoo.
Oh, Mike likes dinosaurs. Go, Mike. Pebbles finally got a gig without Bam Bam.
Drink.
Oh, that's Brittany.
Drink.
Finn goes into the girls' bathroom and sees Quinn standing. They play the same music from last year when Finn first saw Quinn in her prom dress.
Drink.
Finn gets all self-righteous with Quinn. I love to hate Finn at these moments. Stupid lecture, something Finn does well. Go, Finn. The anti-prom party arrives at the hotel room. I love a happy and relaxed Kurt. Becky and Kurt. Kurt, Becky, Blaine, and I are gay. Oh.
Becky.
Kurt. Becky, Blaine, and I are gay. Becky, that's never stopped me before. Wow, Becky is really getting into this whole anti-party. Time to get another refill for me. Santana's singing with Tina and Brittany.
Drink.
Santana's dress reminds me of last year's minus the ruffles. Glad she's here with Brittany this year. Go, Santana.
Mm.
Oh, there's Shane. Let's wave at Shane.
Drink.
Fight, fight, fight between Quinn and Finn. I was hoping for another shoving match. Didn't Jesse and Finn shove each other like 23 times last year? I need to go rewatch last year's episode and count it again. Finn brings Rachel a corsage.
Drink.
Will the ribbon match her eyes? What is Brittany's problem with Blaine this week? Refill time on the drink. Not much left. Boy band number?
Drink.
Cute, but liked Friday from last year better. This could change with additional listenings. Is that even a word?
Drink.
Sam picked up Artie. Go, Sam.
That was cute.
Oh, my God. Near naked Puck. I'm loving Puck more and more this episode. Thanks for crowning Becky. It's the Puck I love.
Drink.
Quinn and Rachel having another girlfriend talk. Santana walks by and says, stop making out with Barry. God, I love this.
Drink again.
Becky and Puck's prom entrance, and then Puck gives Becky a drink.
Drink for me!
Did I mention I love Puck again? Brittany didn't recognize Blaine. Flashback to when Brittany didn't recognize Puck without his mohawk. Glee continuity at its best. Thank you, Kurt, for not telling Blaine for not letting Blaine change his ungelled hair back, even if that isn't how his hair really looks. Go, Kurt and Blaine. Poor Kurt having to crown this year's winners. Nice drum beat for his walk up to the stage.
Drink.
Ah, Quinn and Santana made Rachel prom queen. Go, Quinn. Carrie reference. Drink.
Drink.
Sorry. Tina crying. Go, Tina. Singing, watching every motion as Quinn slowly stands up. Cheesy. Love it.
Drink.
Prom pictures that are overexposed. Love it. Wow. Finish the picture of daiquiris. What a great episode.
Nice.
Things I had to look up. How to spell xylophone. Heiser beer. Heiser is a fictional brand of beer created by the Studio Graphics Division of ISS. Huh. Is that how, am I saying it right? Heisler?
I don't know. Sure.
Heisler has appeared in various motion pictures and television shows. Some Heiser packaging indicates it is a fictional brand of gold ale.
Interesting.
Had to confirm the movie Carrie was in fact released during my senior year. Nope, came out the year before. Must have snuck into the movie theater because I wasn't old enough to see an R-rated flick. Go me.
Yeah.
High points. Puck finally got to spike the punch bowl. Go, Puck.
Yeah.
Low points. No real low points. I like a good fluff episode. Thoughts on my own senior prom. The band that was supposed to play our prom was a rather new group called Van Halen.
Damn.
Note the use of the word suppose. The band was determined to be too controversial for our student body. Mind you, half of us were doing the Rocky Horror Picture Show in drag at the time. But hey, that's a musical, so it must be okay. I actually went to my prom and remember nothing about it. I did have pictures taken with my date, so I could kind of prove that I was there, except I threw most of them out with my yearbooks.
Oh.
The drinking age at the time was 18, and although I wasn't, I have a summer birthday. Almost everybody else was. So if I don't remember my prom, there's probably a real good reason. I'm going to have to assume I had a real good time. Until next episode, Beth.
Especially if he was making strawberry daiquiris.
Yeah. Did I drink at my senior prom?
I didn't drink at mine.
I didn't drink at it. I think I drank after it.
I didn't. My friends and I got together, and we played, like, Mall Madness and Party Mania kind of games afterwards.
Well, that's you guys. We went.
That's us. You're lame.
No, you're not lame. That's just what you guys do.
True.
We went to the, it was a jazz club in Manhattan. I think it closed now. The Blue Note.
Oh yeah.
And that was BYOB. So I think we brought our own. Thanks, Beth.
Thank you, Beth. I hope you enjoyed those daiquiris.
Yes. I need to start watching Glee with alcohol.
Yeah, I do too. It's weird. I've been not a big fan of drinking during the week lately.
Oh, how just, sad.
I know, because I mean, I used to always have like a beer at night, watching a game, have a beer, have a glass of wine. And it's just been because I'm like trying to get to sleep at a good time and trying to wake up and all this stuff. So if I go out during the week and drink, that doesn't count. As I did like every once a week, at least, like the last couple of weeks, where I've gone out somewhere and drank much, much wine and come home on like a Wednesday night. But yeah, at home, I don't drink during the week as much. So it's a little harder that way, but I should fix that.
Yeah, yes, you should.
All right. Next email. Should I read Terri Ann's?
Sure.
Okay. Review of Promosaurus with a side of I Hate Finn Hudson. Hey, Emily and Erica. Yet again, this is a bit of a rant and I apologize. Winky face. So the last email I sent to you ladies was basically an essay on how much of a douche Finn Hudson is. Guess what? That still hasn't changed a whole lot. Seeing him attempt to physically pull a girl who suffered spinal injuries from her wheelchair was just, I don't care that he's seen her standing. He still knows how bad the crash was and what her injuries were. This is him outing Santana in the hallway all over again, doing something with potentially serious consequences just because someone had done or said something he wasn't happy with. How many times is he going to pull crap like this before it actually has a negative consequence? Good point.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but that character has just been destroyed for me over the course of this season. That, while I can appreciate, when he's being decent, his scenes with Rachel this week were good, I just can't look past the fact that he's seen no consequences whatsoever for anything he's done this year. Yet I'm supposed to be rooting for him as the leading male character? Yeah, that's not happening. Other than that, I actually really like this episode more than most since I kissed a girl. If I'm honest, I'm betting it went back and if I went back and checked, this was written by one of the original writers because it had Glee's old snark as well as characters actually being, well, in character. Yes, Terri Ann, Ryan Murphy wrote it. Rachel was great this episode. Her monologue, despite having given up on her dreams, was still written in that overdramatic Rachel Berry way. And I believed it. Whereas most seasons, she's just been a shell of a character she once was. Puck was fantastic, and his scenes with Becky were great. Santana was on point again this week, much more than in Choke, where they kind of sacrificed her for the sake of a storyline. The verbal smackdown of Rachel was harsh enough to call her out, yet not so far as to be bullying. It feels like they're on equal ground now, and she was giving Rachel a reality check rather than being mean for no reason. Brittany was spot on as well. The new writer seemed to have just left her alone this season, probably because she's a tricky one to write. Her dialogue was one of the main reasons I think it was one of the original writers, actually. Because, yes, she was normal, quirky Brittany, but she still had that bitchy side to her that I think a lot of people forget about. Yeah, good point. Also, when she thought that prom committee girl was Rachel, priceless. Some good points there about Brittany. Maybe yeah. Ryan Murphy might actually be the only one who really has a good hold on her voice in some ways.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, totally. Joplin, what are you doing now? Now Joplin's trying to out Mjolnir her. I think she's chasing a bug. Okay, that's fine.
Mjolnir's asleep on my shoulder now. So
yeah, I think Joplin has found like a moth or a mosquito. Because she's just like sitting, staring at my wall, looking up. And her little tail's going back and forth as if like she's ready to attack. Nice. Okay. Terri Ann continues. Another thing I loved was how, unlike last year when Quinn and Santana ran out of the hall in tears, this year they were together, sorting through the votes and just talking like the real friends that we never actually get to see them be. Because apparently only the male characters are allowed to have proper conversations with each other on Glee. But look at how far they've come. Santana didn't want to be queen if her girlfriend wasn't going to be crowned with her. And Quinn finally got that crown that she's always wanted and yet gave it away to Rachel. I love the Quinn-Rachel friendship so much. Happy sigh. I really do think it's one of the better things Glee has accomplished over the past 3 years. Also, Quinn standing at the end and Santana holding her up while everyone clapped. Well, I'll admit I may have teared up a little. So yeah, all in all, it was a great episode. Everything without Finn in it was fantastic, and maybe half the stuff with him in was also fairly enjoyable, which, trust me, says a lot given my opinion of him these days. I think that's a good point about the Rachel Quinn. I just didn't like that they gave Rachel the crown.
And I'm just remembering it now because I'm remembering the actual scene. I hate that Quinn gave her the crown but still took that moment to stand up, which she basically took the moment from her anyway.
Did she, though, or was she doing it in a way that wasn't, like, I don't know. I think, yes, that was the end result. But I think from Quinn's point of view, it was more her doing it while Rachel was getting the attention so that it's like, it's not about me. Rachel has got the crown right now. Everybody's looking at her.
And I'm going to stand up.
But I don't know. I don't
look at me.
No, that you're, yes, that's how it came out. But I think I could rationalize it as her being, I'm going to stand up when people aren't looking at me. So it's not a big deal because I don't want people to look at, I don't want to be the focus of attention. I'm going to do it when no one's paying attention. But yeah, I don't know. I think both work.
Okay.
Get it, Joplin. Get it. Oh, it's really cute. And she's running and getting bugs. Okay. I look forward, but only with mild anticipation, because my genuine boundless excitement for Glee has been forever damaged, unfortunately, to next week's 2-hour Nationals episode and then graduation. Side note, is Brittany graduating? No one will address it properly, and I'll be pissed if she doesn't. I, and plenty of other people as well, for that matter, remember very clearly that Finn used to cheat off Brittany, and that he'd always agree when she'd give her weird answers in that choir room. So if that loser can graduate, then Brittany can too. Can't wait to hear what you ladies thought about this episode and the rest of the season. Terri Ann in the UK. P.S. I wish they'd stop using the fact that Quinn got into Yale as a justification of how perfect her life is. She got in because she worked for it. Yes, Finn, maybe Quinn does seem like she has everything to you, but that's because she's worked damn hard. She changed everything about herself to become popular. She worked her arse off as Cheerios captain. She gave birth and then had to give her daughter up. And then she got hit by a damn truck. Maybe she hasn't always been a saint, but neither has. So I wish they'd let her stick up for herself.
Neither is he.
So I wish they'd let her stick up for herself. Maybe it seems like she has everything to Finn, but she's been struggling through the last couple years while he was basically sat around whining about 1, the football team, 2, Glee Club, 3, not always being popular, 4, not knowing what girl he wanted to date. And then finally, 5, not knowing his dream, yet not being willing to put in the effort to actually make any plans whatsoever. But of course, it's Glee, so he's the hero prom king and she's the villain. Erg. Okay, now I'm done. Sorry, it's so long. Bye. thank you, Terri Ann.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Yale thing I still laugh about just because it just felt so unbelievable to me. But no, Quinn has been through a lot. I agree.
Yeah, she has.
Yep.
I will read our feedback from Brianne.
Okay.
The subject is the Belle of the Ball. Hello, Emily and Erica. I've decided to name this email the Belle of the Ball because for me, the real Belle of the Ball was Becky Jackson. Oh. First of all, I love her inner dialogue voiced by Helen Mirren. She has great lines and has been an underused character. I think most of all, as a special education teacher, I enjoy having a character with special needs shown with personality that's more than just everyone feel bad for me.
Right.
There is some aspect of that, but I don't feel like Rachel invited her just because she has Down syndrome. I think she invited her because she's been an outsider and felt the same way as the Glee kids, and they recognize that. I do have some hope for the future. I see the way other children treat the students I have worked with, and it is the most beautiful thing you could ever witness. When I was in school, a kid with a disability was shipped to a specialty school or stuck in one class that never socialized with anyone else. Before I started in the field, I made the retard jokes and didn't understand. But this next generation is going to be so accepting and embracing of people with special needs because they'll be used to it. I've seen my students participate in school activities, make friends that were in regular classes, and regular in quotes, classes, enjoying things outside of school like sports and Boy Scouts. I've overheard conversations of kids inviting the kids with special needs over that weekend. And I think Glee is a part of that. I know it's said in past podcasts, but the young audience is watching intently and feel like they have a gay friend in Kurt and Blaine, and they have a friend with special needs in Becky. I'm jealous of the generation, and I hope they use this knowledge wisely.
Yeah, good point.
Okay, now that I'm off my soapbox, here's my review of the episode. Prom is something I always loved. I'm a girl who loved movies like Grease and Pretty in Pink, in which prom is the culminating scene. So to me, prom is always fun. I think overall the episode was good. Not great, but good. Good, not great.
It's good. It's not great.
I can't do a Christopher Walken, so it doesn't work. The music took a backseat this week to the plots, but that's fine by me. So Rachel has no backup plan. We all saw that coming, but as discussed in last week's podcast, how unrealistic. Mm-hmm. I must admit that I only applied to 2 colleges myself, but I was also not dreaming of college. I loved high school and wanted to stay with my friends forever. I was an honor student that applied to 2 SUNY schools, so I was pretty sure I'd get in. My notes say, blah, you're an idiot. Brittany's the class president. You'd never know it from the past few weeks. So, okay, they called themselves out on it, but they do that for every storyline they drop and pick up later. The joke is getting old. She picks a dinosaur prom. It's fun. It's different. It works. Brittany's so dumb that everything she says makes sense, even if it doesn't. Cut to Sue, who I keep forgetting is pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
Was this storyline really necessary? Let's get Sue knocked up, ignore it, minus putting a baby bump on her, and we'll come back to that later. This is almost as bad as when she married herself.
Oh, God, I forgot that happened.
Thank God Becky came to the rescue to smash some xylophones. Quinn's walking, and my first thought was, okay, so she really was getting feeling back in her legs. That explains Joe's boner in her leg and her feeling. They are really trying to wrap this story up quickly. Anyone else notice her dancing in the coming attractions for Nationals? I know she's young and all, but something tells me that you don't go from being wheelchair-bound to choreographed dances in a matter of a couple of weeks. Rachel decides to have an anti-prom, and my heart and head scream, no. Okay, so it makes sense, but it's not original. I recall a Dawson's Creek episode 12 years ago that had an anti-prom because Jack couldn't bring a boy to the prom. Pacey and Joey were ripped apart prior to that, and Pacey made me swoon when he noticed Joey's bracelet she was wearing was her late mom's, Lissai. So I was... I looked down and I lost my spot.
You lissied and lost your spot.
Lissai. So I was nervous that they were going to try and be original when I knew that Dawson's beat them to it. Luckily, it was done more realistically, in which there were only 5 of them and it was a bust. Phew. Anyone else find it curious that Rachel can get glammed up like that in a motel bathroom? Yeah, me too. But still, she looked very pretty. Prom King and Queen made me barf.
Yeah, I was barf. Like, did she bring like a hair straightener and curler? Yeah, no, I did think about that.
Do schools really do this? My school did not. However, we did have homecoming kings and queens, but it really didn't matter all that much, unless I lived in a bubble because I knew I'd never get nominated. Anyway, Quinn and Santana counting the votes is the stupidest idea ever. I know it was so they could rig it for Rachel, but shoot, let's keep the girl down for a little bit. But it seems they just can't keep the spotlight off of Rachel and Finn for once. I also see why Finn was mad at Quinn, but come on, the girl just went through a car accident. Be happy that she can stand. Sure, maybe she had some ulterior motives, but him screaming at her was so unnecessary. With regard to prom queen, we did have prom king and queen and a homecoming court, and they weren't the same. Right. The difference was that the students voted for homecoming court, and the teachers picked our prom king and queen.
Oh, see, what? Really?
Yeah. So, wow. Like, our prom king and queen were, like, you know, two, like, they were, like, a couple that had been together for a long time and were really, really good students.
Okay.
That were in, like, honors classes and stuff. And then our homecoming king and queen were, like, the popular kids.
See, what they did at our school was the homecoming court was nominated by the teachers. So it would usually be, like, popular kids who were also nerds. So you'd always have, like, a couple of football players and cheerleaders in there, but also, like, class president and, like, valedictorians in there. Mm-hmm. And then the students voted on it. The whole school, actually, not just seniors, voted on the homecoming for the homecoming king and queen. Prom court, I think, was purely student-based, where, like, you got a ballot a week before and, like, picked somebody from prom king and queen. And then I think they announced it. I'm trying to remember how it worked. Because I remember junior prom, it got messed up. Because junior prom, if you were failing one class, you couldn't attend prom. Uh-huh. And there was, like, three kids on the prom court who had failed, so they weren't at prom. So then, like, the teachers just, like, threw in other kids to the prom court. And, of course, they threw in nerds, so I don't really know. I'm not saying nerds derogatorily. I was a nerd, but yeah. I was never on the prom court, so, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I think my school is weird in doing that, though.
Yeah, like, ours was, in the end, the students were voting for it, but homecoming court was nominated by the teachers.
Okay.
Yep.
Brienne continues. My notes were all over the place, but here are my highlights. Becky knocking Rachel down a peg when she tells her she doesn't want her failure rubbing off on her. Brittany saying the theme was inspired by the new girl, Joe, that looks like a cavewoman. Becky calling the teacher in Brittany calling the teacher in the prom committee Rachel, and that she'll see her at Glee. Was that a teacher? I thought it was a student.
I couldn't tell. At first, I thought she was a student. Then I'm like, she does look old. So I don't know.
Maybe she was a teacher. That explains a lot. She did look really old. Blaine's rant on hair gel and the effects taffeta and confetti will have. Becky bringing condoms to the ante prom. Kurt responds, Blaine and I are gay. Becky says that never stopped me before. Rachel and Kurt want to have a fashion show. That would have been me in high school. Okay, maybe I'd still be down with that. Kurt says he wants to fashion the curtains into outfits, and Becky says, you're gay. Delivery of the line was perfect. Blaine says something along the lines of, freedom to use hair gel is in the Bill of Rights. Becky and Puck strip poker. Hello, Star Wars boxers, but yeah. I digress. They were not boxers. They were straight up tighty whiteys.
They were black.
Yeah. I know it was a bit cheesy that Puck made them crowns, but I found it to be sweet with not being too over the top cheesy. What was really cheesy was Finn talking to Rachel when they won prom king and queen. Blaine's broccoli head and the interaction between him and Kurt. They were really are just so adorable together. And I love that Brittany called him the new boy with the fro. Complaints, Rachel's lack of a backup plan, Sue's being pregnant. I hated Joe's hat at physical therapy. Pretty much every scene Finn was in. I think you guys are brainwashing me. Quinn and Santana counting the votes. My favorite song of the night was Big Girls Don't Cry. I liked Rachel, Kurt, and Blaine's collaborative effort. However, it's another song that has lyrics that don't fit the situation besides the title.
It's a metaphor!
I also felt like there was no lead into it. It went from Becky smashing xylophones to Rachel singing. The dinosaur song was terrible. Brittany danced well, but the song itself is just crap.
What?
It is a crappy bubblegum song, but it's great.
Yeah. They did Friday last year.
Yeah. I do enjoy that Selena Gomez song, Love You Like a Love Song. Santana, of course, does a good job. Love Mike Chang watching lovingly on the side of the stage. Got annoyed at Mercedes waving at Shane. I felt like, oh, shit, we should throw a little Mercedes and Sam in there because we haven't paid attention to them in a while. I guess they are technically together, though it was never brought up.
Yep.
What makes you beautiful? I'm a sucker for boy bands and OKTB for life. It was good, but again, nothing out of the ordinary. Take My Breath Away. Quinn sounded great. Good prom song. I give this episode a B. Love to Becky. It was just it was fun, just like my own prom was. Nothing too memorable that will be worth sitting my kids down and telling them about it. But I sure did have lots to share with my fellow podcasters. Until next time, in which we'll have gasped 2 hours of Glee to discuss.
Fuck.
Brianne.
Thank you, Brianne. It was nice meeting you, too.
Yeah, you guys got to... That was exciting. Apparently met before, but you got to meet each other.
I definitely have met her before, but yes. We got to meet each other. I don't know. Well, maybe I'm like... Because I'm like, wait, did she come see the Glee 3D movie with us?
Did she?
Oh, maybe. Yeah. See? Bam, I win.
Duh.
Yeah.
Okay. That's solved.
See her again. okay, should I? We have 2 more emails left.
Yep.
Should I tackle Wayne?
I feel like we should always leave Wayne for last.
Okay. Do you want to take Helene's?
Yeah, I'll take Helene's.
Okay.
Helene sent us an email titled Mystery Solved. And here we are again. Prom. Remember last prom when Glee reached into my chest, ripped my still beating heart, and crushed it into a puddle of bloody goo on the floor? This year, not so much. This is prom, people. This is the last prom for many of these characters. This is the last prom before several couples are separated by graduation. Was a little bittersweet romance too much to ask? apparently, because romance was the one thing that didn't happen at this prom.
That's true.
Finn and Rachel still found a reason to kiss. We are supposed to actually be worried that the whole Quinn thing would threaten their relationship? Mercedes and Sam were actually together at the prom. When did that happen? Didn't she decide not to date either guy just a few episodes ago?
Yeah.
You know you're doing something wrong when the cutest couple in the prom episode is Puck and Becky. On the upside, I have figured out why Quinn has been missing from so many episodes. Diana of Aragon, obviously has had to have treatment for whiplash every time she reacts. I'm screwing this up and it's a really good sentence.
Do this.
All right, I'm going to start again because it deserves my attention.
Take a moment.
On the upside, I figured out why Quinn has been missing from so many episodes. Diana Agron has obviously had to have treatment for whiplash every time she reads a script that she is in. How many times this season have we had to watch her learn the same lesson? My count is up to 3, and that's not including last year's prom where she learned exactly this lesson.
Uh-huh.
With 2 weeks to go, I think we have time for one more, as long as her neck holds up. And okay, Glee, if you're really sick of getting complaints that there's a double standard between the way PDA is portrayed between the straight and gay relationships on the show, don't have Kurt and Blaine hanging out on extreme opposites of the bed when we all know if that was a Finn and Rachel scene, they'd be cuddled up together. Just don't put them in that position and remind us of how they're not behaving like a couple. And it just adds insult to injury when you pan around the dance floor showing several couples making out during Take My Breath Away, and then we get to Kurt and Blaine doing a freaking jitterbug. Although a slow jitterbug can be cool. I'm reminded of Terry Danzer on Rosanna my junior year of high school, but I digress. This was not a slow jitterbug. It was Kurt and Blaine pointedly not slow dancing.
I didn't notice that.
I didn't either. It was a lovely bit of continuity to have that little look of panic on Kurt and Blaine's faces when Figgins said there was a write-in winner for Queen just like last year, but for it to carry any actual weight, we had to be worried too, which we weren't because we already knew that Kurt hadn't been voted for. Sigh. Things I did like about this episode. The music. I actually enjoyed every song. Even the weird dancing dinosaurs.
Fuck yeah.
Finn yelling at Quinn to stand up. Some people think it was harsh and abusive, but honestly, I wanted to scream at her too. Didn't we get over this last year? Didn't she already express how much she's grown and learned? How ready is she to move on to Yale? So why the fuck is she now so desperate again for a crown that she'll pretend still need her wheelchair to get the sympathy vote? Never mind yelling. I would have dumped her out of the chair onto her ass. I'm so very done with Quinn. Blaine's hair. I was really afraid they were going to make him look ridiculous, but I think this is the one thing this episode that Glee played exactly right. It was bushy enough that you could buy he'd feel self-conscious about it, but not so crazy that it was silly. You could totally buy that with a few lessons from Kurt on proper use of product, he'd look just as perfect as well as Darren Criss looks most of the time. Okay, so maybe next year they'll actually get prom right. We'll see. Until next time, Helene.
Thank you, Helene.
Thanks, Helene.
Yeah, poor Diana of Aragon.
I'm being knocked out again. Yeah? No, that's fine. Thank you, though. Just leave me a little bit. All right. Okay, it's fine. Thank you. You missed the cake last night, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, we left right before. It's like, oh.
Really good. It was a cool.
I know. Mike was so excited about it.
Ice cream cake, and it had like, it was chocolate chip cookie dough, and it had like chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream and actual cake in it.
Oh, God damn it.
So, and I brought some of it home, and my brother was asking to eat some of it, but I wanted some more of it because it was really, really good. Sorry about that.
No, oh, I know. Well, yeah. It was just like, just they were doing the cake. It was like everybody was walking out the door, and I'm like, God, it's the cake. Okay. I'm not driving. Damn it. But I'd had a lot of margaritas before that. So.
Is that what you were drinking there?
No. At Mason
LA. At Mason LA. Okay.
It was Mother's Day. Happy Mother. Oh, my goodness. Happy Mother's Day. Yes. All of our mothers out there. And we know
we
that.
So many moms.
Totally. And anybody else out there. May this day have brought you much joy and relaxation.
Yes.
It's also my mother's birthday was yesterday. So it's my poor mother. And this will happen to you eventually, Erica. It is awful to have your, and I don't know if any of our listeners are mothers who have birthdays like this week in May. It's always awful because no matter how hard you try, you just never feel like you've, you know, normally every woman gets these two great days. They get their birthday where their kids and everybody gives it, you know, a big thing for them. And you get Mother's Day. And for my mom, it's always crunched into 1 week.
I even experience that now because I'm like, oh, it's like when my birthday is actually on Mother's Day, I'm like, oh, it's my birthday, but I have to go celebrate.
See my mom. Yeah, it stinks. People don't have sex 9 months before Mother's Day to conceive. Like, just, you know, give yourself like a week or two before or after, something like that.
Yeah.
You can plan these things. I mean, sure, sometimes kids come early and all that stuff, but still, work around it if you can. So we had gone to a Mexican restaurant that is known for giving you big pitchers of whatever you order. So we had had two big pitchers between three of us of margaritas. So
nice.
And even though I did try to sleep it off because my plan was I was going to take a nap and then drive out to the bar to see you. Pam had then offered to drive. So I'm like, well, you know, I probably shouldn't be driving anyway.
Yep.
That was that. Okay, our last email comes from the one, the only Wayne Kotke, whose titles his email Promosaurus, part prom, part thesaurus, all boring. Somebody and somebody else. I have a strange suspicion everyone else will be raving about Promosaurus, but it barely kept my attention. I just could not force myself to give a good goddamn about any of this. As I've stated before, I was not the least bit nostalgic or sentimental about the end of high school. All this, we'll never be together like this again stuff is just lost on me. When Tina said she wanted this year to go on forever, I actually said aloud to the TV screen, it has! I mean, really, think about it. Doesn't the Purple Piano Project seem like something that happened eons and eons ago when dinosaurs actually did walk the earth?
It actually does, yes.
Yeah. As soon as he said that, I was like, no, wasn't that last year's season from... No, it wasn't. It was this year's, yeah. Speaking of dinosaurs, how did we not get Walk the Dinosaur or Alley Up or even one goddamn song from the Flintstones? There will never be another dino-themed Glee episode again, and all we got was one strictly second-tier Keisha song. Incidentally, Key Dollar Sign Al must be the patron saint of every girl who can't sing and yet still wants to be a singer. If she's been found dead in a Motel 6 somewhere by the time this podcast airs, please delete this entire paragraph. Thanks. I don't think she has, Wayne, but I don't read the news, so she might have. Who knows? I'm not going to bother rewatching this episode, so there won't be a super detailed list of observations this week. I'm just going to recap some of what I remember. Blaine's hair minus hair gel looks the way my hair looks every day. This whole subplot made me feel like shit. Thanks for nothing, Glee. Sure, it's fine. I think Finn was way too quick to judge Quinn. During the last few episodes, I've occasionally wondered if Quinn were actually faking the whole thing. But then I remembered season one and Terry and her non-baby and thought, nah, they're not going to do that again. And they didn't really. I mean, as far as we know, Quinn can stand and take a couple of tentative steps, but that's hardly reason for Finn to get all self-righteous and judgy on her. Finn was really effing intolerable this week, and I'm right back to hating him. The announcement of prom king and queen a season ago, that was drama. The announcement of prom king and queen this year, that was a whole lot of who cares. Mike O'Malley was on Parks and Rec last week, and Matthew Morrison is going to be in that sure-to-be-god-awful What to Expect When You're Expecting movie. Oh, my God. That's what we forgot to talk about, Mike O'Malley on Parks and Rec.
I saw it, but I think I only saw half the episode. I don't think I finished it yet.
Oh, okay. He was great because he was an asshole, and it was really funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was the bus guy.
The van rental guy. Yeah. Like, but they gave me money, and he was funny and just asshole-y.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Matthew Morrison is in the Pregnant movie.
The holiday movie that's not about a holiday. Because it's like Love Actually and New Year's Eve and Valentine's Day.
This one is Pregnancy Day.
Yes.
More than anything on Glee, I hate it when they take something that was trendy a year or two ago and then act like it's a new thing and explain the shit out of it as if we're all stupid. Case in point, anti-proms. I'm pretty sure I learned of these circa 2008 from an old copy of Newsweek in my dentist's waiting room. Becky's reign of terror was kind of funny, and this was a good Sue episode. That's the attitude. Oh, and Helen Mirren was back, so that happened. The art direction this week was all over the map. I thought the prom campaign posters were lame and generic,
but I liked the dinosaurs.
Yeah, they were. But I liked the dinosaur heads on the Cheerios wore, and the paper mache dinosaur decorations too. So the Glee art staff did both a good and bad job this week. And I think they could have pushed the dinosaur prom theme a little harder, too. I kind of wanted the whole gym to be transformed into a kind of lush Jurassic Park-type jungle. God, that would have been awesome. None of the high schools in my area had their proms in a gym. That's something I've only ever seen in movies and TV.
Thank you.
I knew were always at hotels or rented halls. Exactly.
He anticipated my question and answered it for me.
Like, I wonder how much of it was if I were... Okay. Now, granted, it's a little skewed right now, but... If I had to ask you, if you had to think of one movie, prom, go, what would you say?
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Movie. Oh, really? Oh, well, not really? That's what you would go to?
Okay. As prom?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why. That's what I went to.
Because to me, and I imagine, I would say maybe, let's say 60% of Americans. Let's put it that way. If I said, name the first movie that comes to mind when I say prom, I think most people would say Carrie.
Oh, really?
Which is very distinctively set in a gym.
Yes. Well, so is Buffy the Vampire Slayer. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, true.
I'm sorry, I just wanted vampires at my prom, apparently.
Well, I mean, who didn't? I wanted telekinesis at mine, but that didn't happen. But I just wonder how much of that is, which came first, Carrie or the gym in the prom in the gym? Like, I wonder if that was so influential on that in movies. I don't know.
And here's the other thing is that most, I feel like, did your high school gym have a stage in it or did you have an auditorium?
We had an auditorium.
Yeah. Like my elementary school gym had a stage in it.
Yeah, as did mine. And my middle school had one too. But I'm sorry. My middle school, it was the cafeteria. The cafeteria was in the same space as the auditorium.
My middle school even had an auditorium, I think.
Okay.
I can't remember right now. Ooh, I can't remember the layout of my junior high school.
Crazy.
I keep thinking of my high school instead. That's kind of
weird. Yeah, no, ours was like...
I feel like most high schools have an auditorium. So there shouldn't even be a stage in that place.
Right, because you think of on... Well, no, well... That's a good point. Yeah, because on Glee, they have an auditorium on Glee.
Yeah. I guess they could have brought in a stage, but I don't know.
Yeah, at that point, just rent out a hall for the night.
Exactly.
Yeah, weird. Have it at Breadsticks.
Yeah, seriously. Yep. They have a stage.
They do. We've seen it. Wayne continues, but speaking of prom, wait a minute. Oh, okay. I suddenly just got annoyed because I'm like, wait a minute, why was Artie at the prom? But I guess it was because he was performing.
Yeah.
Okay. And Sugar should have been at the prom performing.
Okay. Yeah, she wasn't in this episode at all.
Yeah, and because on one hand, it's like, okay, well, technically the juniors shouldn't have been there unless they had a date there. Although that didn't stop the technically sophomores. Whatever, I'm getting too specific.
Yeah.
Wayne continues, but speaking of prom themes, there was one scene this week which I really loved, and it was Britney's swift, brutal coup d'etat of the prom committee. Those kids were great, and I love that Brittany thought one of them was Rachel. I've been involved in prom committees as both a student and staff advisor, and I can say that this is very accurate as to what those meetings are like. Good job on this, Glee. That's true. If you ever were in student council when the class president was, like, a popular kid, it was that, like, annoying sense of, like, dude, you got elected, do work, and they never wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, and Figgins was excellent throughout. Great Figgins episode. His meeting with Madam President was a highlight. Did you know that song? Did you know that the song "Take My Breath Away" is based on the fact that Tom Cruise likes to be choked during sex? Actually, that's not true. I don't know why I said that. Probably because I was so bored by this episode. I love you, Wayne. If I'd cared about this episode, my email would have been called "Mein Führer, Quinn Can Walk." Do I have to explain that joke? Please say no. This is the worst time to spring a two-hour special on me, Glee. And Lindsay Lohan looks and sounds just awful in that preview clip. I know. So that was Promosaurus. I didn't comment on the songs too much because, frankly, I don't remember them. This episode felt like a great big nothing to me. Like The Spanish Teacher and Saturday Night Fever, which I mentioned last week, this episode is the kind which makes me think that following Glee is not really worth it. Yours in total indifference. P.S. I have been informed that Walk the Dinosaur actually did play in the background of one scene. But until I hear the telltale boom, boom, chakalaka, boom, boom, I have not truly heard get on the floor, everybody walk the dinosaur. It totally did play in the background. I did hear
it.
I mean, yes, I would have preferred them to sing it because, hey, man, I was in, like, sixth grade when Super Mario Brothers came out. I remember. But, yeah, it didn't. Wayne Kotke, find him at d2write.blogspot.com.
Whoop, whoop.
Yep, yep. So that was
Promosaurus
from episode 19. We have a 2-hour episode to watch on Tuesday.
Yep.
We're thrilled.
Everyone is just like, oh God, it's 2 hours this week.
Yeah. Well, we are excited though, because I think I'm excited to just see this season end. And I'm going to look forward to coming back just because I'm going to be really curious what they're going to do, how they're going to structure it.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a good summer, I'm sure.
Yes.
This summer, we are vowing, don't worry, we've got to finish up the High School Musical series for
yes,
you.
Yes, we do.
We have got, me and Andy from My Living Podcast have a Glee porn to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure, Step Up 4, what?
Yeah.
And so there's all these things and more. Eric and I did have some good ideas about a little bit of Game of Thrones stuff that yep. We'll see where that goes. But let's just say I thought of a structure that I'm kind of so stoked about.
Yeah.
It's a way to make sure that like it's not spoiled for you, that you only listen like up chronologically. We're just putting it out there. So it's going to be good. I hope all of our moms had a great Mother's Day.
Yeah. And I guess you can find us in our Facebook group by searching for GleeCast. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Erica's Knits.
I'm Deadly Dolls.
And send us feedback, GleeCast@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll speak to you next week.
Indeedy.
Goodbye. Okay,